Good evening, my brothers and I. Thank you for coming this night, and we welcome here in the powerful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It would appear, and the meteorologists confirm it, that we are no longer in drought conditions. We're getting plentiful moisture, plentiful rain. They say that La Nina has flipped over to become El Nino. And so that's going to be the weather pattern that we're going to be in most of the summer, most of the rest of the year. So we should be getting lots and lots more moisture. No longer a drought. I pray that that our spiritual condition is the same, that we will no longer be in a spiritual drought, but that the living waters of heaven will flow freely amongst us. So I call you tonight to worship with the following scripture from Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, the 7th and 8th verses. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We'll open our service with the singing of hymn number 317, after which Brother Denny Seymour will bring the invocation. Hymn 317, we'll stand and sing this hymn.
Our Heavenly Father, it is indeed our good pleasure to come to your house tonight. Once again, to come and to give you an honor and a praise and a glory. All of this that you deserve. You are the Creator, Heavenly Father, of everything, of all good gifts. And we thank you for that. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you might accompany us this night, that your Spirit might rain upon us, that you might be with our brother Luke as he would bring that spoken message. This we do and give you thanks, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For scripture reading, let's go to Deuteronomy 30, 17 through 20. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Then I'd like to go to 6 in Deuteronomy also, 20 through 25. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us.
We'll remain seated now and sing hymn number 320, 320.
I'd like to thank you all for coming out this evening to support me and to hear what the Lord brought forth to me to bring to you, that it would be of good peace to you to hear. As you can see that my subject matter is obviously that of the Old Testament, of those the people that were in bondage with Pharaoh and was seeking freedom. And I would like to start out also with the testimony that come upon me this morning. As you guys know, we had morning devotions this morning, so you get to see two of me today. But it was a struggle. My wife and I had a busy week this week, as we do any time whenever it's time to serve you, Lord. As you guys all have that happen in your life too, I'm sure. But I was approached 2 weeks ago to fill in for the to be determined in the morning devotions with the stacks. And I said, sure, no problem. And then I registered that it was the same time that I was speaking. So all that did was open up the testimony that you guys know we had spoken about Noah and the ark. And we had asked the children what they would like to speak about, and first one of them said they wanted to talk about Jonah and the well, but that was what we spoke about last time we had morning devotion, so obviously you know what our kids' favorite stories are. But it was the concept that as I get into what I was brought to bring to you guys, that the faithfulness and the need to trust in the Lord, which I didn't have much to do with the morning devotions, is where my testimony is. I was preparing for this and had some work stuff come up, and my wife was able to put that together, and I was kind of taken back to know that even though it was two stories in the scriptures, both of our themes today intertwined together. So I pray that if that be his will, that you guys would see that too and that it would bring a blessing to you. So we're going to be speaking about the Israelites and how it kind of reflects in their story and how it would also reflect into our lives today. As we know, they were in bondage with Pharaoh and life was terrible for them, and they were pleading for a way out. And they were provided with a boy that was put into the sea, as you know, as Moses. He was brought as their source to escape Pharaoh. And this lets us know from the beginning that God's hand was in the journey to the promised land. I don't necessarily want to speak about where they were at in Egypt and the time that they had with the plagues. We all know those stories well, and we can always be refreshed on those. But where I was brought to with my preparation was the time that they spent after they crossed the Red Sea. The Israelites were in the wilderness at this time, and they had a short journey if you look at it geographically. And as we know, it wasn't a short journey, for the Lord seemed fit that they needed to learn thy commandments. So they had a short trip that turned into what we would consider 40 years at this time, wandering in the wilderness. The first initial trip was probably from one point to the other was, getting a rough time frame around 2 years is what kind of what I put together. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But that was when they reached the point to where they could see their destination. And then they went into their 40 years of tribulations at that point. So we can pick apart the fact that the people of Israel had many times of lessons. They needed to learn. And they had many sinful actions that they were doing and that they had witnessed and seen in their time at Egypt, which we all know kind of the story is that the things that we see and learn is kind of what our habits are. So they had all these old habits that they had in the time that they seen in Egypt that they had to get rid of. And it all kind of starts with, in their wilderness journey, is their unbelief. Let's go to I'm going to go to Romans 14, 23. This is a scripture here about the unbelief in people. And he that doubteth is condemned, if he eat because it is not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So this is a time where basically they're saying that we can see all these miracles that are happening in the wilderness. And as they crossed the Red Sea, they had seen it parting, which we all know was a miracle in itself. And they were still not believing, which therefore put them in a sinful state. So back in the day, which right now in our lifetime, it's probably a little bit easier, but also harder because we have more access to the means of seeing things around the world. We can see all of the blessings that the Lord give us. But back then, they had to physically see it with their own eyes in their time for them to witness it. So I would think, which correct me if I'm wrong, but it would probably be easier and also more challenging to see the mighty works and be able to put them into your life and to believe if you actually saw the Red Sea part. I mean, we have not seen that in our time, but I would think that that would be powerful enough for us to follow the Lord. Now, we say that, but we have the same temptations that they had back then, and we don't get to necessarily see the physical Red Sea part, but we have the ability, if we would just see and respect the fact that it is a blessing from God. So these were the chosen people at the time. We know many, many generations were in a sinful state. And the Israelites were kind of chosen as that vessel to bring forth the commandments to the people and to go and spread forth the word that the Lord would have them to do. But in their state, they were always murmuring and never thought that the Lord was actually on their side. We can go through here, and there's kind of a concept of about seven different times that the people of Israel, on their way to their journey, were in a sinful state. And I'd like to kind of go through a little bit of them, and we're going to dive into Numbers. If you guys want to open up, we'll probably be in that a little bit here, back and forth. So we're going to go to the first one. This would be Numbers 11, 4 through 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." So therefore, back to number 6. "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." So this is after they've crossed over the Red Sea and they were starving in their nature. And the Lord had blessed them with one miraculous journey. And then they had already forgotten the power of escaping Pharaoh, that they were all of a sudden concerned about the food that they were going to eat. And then you have the jealousy of Miriam and Aaron. And then we're going to go to the doubting feature, which we can all consider in our life is probably sometimes a concern that whenever we're not in control and the Lord is in control, that sometimes we doubt where this is going. So let's go to Numbers again. Chapter 14, 1 through 4. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." So you can see here that they are in very much a disarray of doubt and in unbelief, which is kind of the forefront of all of their sins that they had in their state there. Let's go to number 16, 1 through 3. Now, this is another problem that we have as a people today, and this is kind of in what I took is their power. They wanted to be in power and not necessarily let the Lord be in power. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, and the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? So there you see basically somebody of the statues of Moses getting questioned that it is right for him to have the power that he has and somebody else wanting to take it. And then we continue in chapter 16 and go to 41. You have the complaining, just the normal complaints that you would have and that you can hear and that we sometimes do ourselves. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And then we're going to go to whenever they were thirsty. Chapter 20, 2 through 5. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chowed with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So we see here where they're basically saying that it was better in Egypt. How many times in our lives do we go through our daily struggle and get past it and think about what it could have been if it went a different way? And then we'll go to Numbers 21, 5 through 7. This is when they're murmuring against God himself directly. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth in this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. So as you can see, those are just a few of them, but kind of 7 points that they had on their journey to the mount, that they had come with sinful thoughts or minds, with those types of complaints and murmurings and jealousy and wanting more power, in the concept of the fact that they'd just forgotten where they were in bondage with the Pharaoh. Each and every time that they could have gone forward, there were new struggles that came up. The people needed to learn. They had to have time before they could prosper over the Jordan River. They were to get the commandments and the laws at the time and the word that they needed. Numbers 20, 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So there it is. They have a promise. All they have to do is obey the Lord and have faith in him, and they would be able to receive the promised land which they have. So we have basically in their time, good works equals good things and bad works are not good. So let's bounce to Deuteronomy. Let's go to chapter 28, 1 through 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So that there is a promise, which we have been given and they were given at the time, to follow his will, and we will be blessed. But on the flip side of that, in 28:15, you have the opposite. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So, in preparation of talking with the Lord, trying to figure out what I was forth to bring to you guys today, I was driving one day into work in frustration with what was going on, and the Lord had reminded me of my personal testimony of the current situation that my wife and I are in, and my family. This is really probably the first time I'm going to share it, so bear with me. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I had the great idea that I was going to start my own construction company. And I can tell you now that them are decisions that you cannot do alone. And I kind of fall in the stead of the Israelites in the wilderness at this point. And this is why it was brought to me to bring forth this, is that I was in a position at the company that I was at, and then I was downgraded, and then downgraded again, and felt like I was just descending in the company, or the rank, so to speak, and I became prideful. And it was hard for me to realize, now that I know where I'm at, that it's not always about you, and it's not always about the short game, it's the long game. So I had pride, which is one of the things that the people of Israel had whenever they were in their wilderness. Also, trying to do it alone. I was not very diligent in keeping my wife informed, and she will let you know that she did not know much of the company. Therefore, I was trying to do it alone, without my wife's support, and a lot of times trying to do it without the Lord's support. So there'd be another example of why it did not work out. I was angry. Once again, I tell you, it was frustrating seeing other people do the job that I had with what I felt like not as many talents, and I found myself that was the wrong thing to think about. There was also doubt. I had doubt, but I didn't want to show it. I didn't ask for help. And then there was a negativity. The negativity that brought upon me after I had struggles, and it got into my family's life. And you can ask my wife that it was a trying time. And we don't talk about it much. It's behind us, and the Lord has blessed us diligently to this day on it. But until I actually come to the realization that I couldn't do it alone, and the burden became too heavy, is when I began to plead with our Heavenly Father to help my family find a way out. Those of you that may not know, I had the company, and we were getting into where we were getting busy. I was trusting in myself, obviously, like I said, not the Lord, and I was making rash decisions to try to help my family in the monetary sense. Well, I can tell you one thing, as you guys know, whenever you make decisions based on money, it normally does not lead very well. So I was trying to help us out and doing everything I could, putting work before the Lord, and obviously it didn't work out. I had a partner that basically wasn't a partner but tried to help me out, and come to find out he was definitely there to help himself and not help me. And so it led me into a strange time to where without the support of the loved ones around us and even the help financially of others, that we weren't able to make it. But here we are. We've made it. The Lord has blessed us. And I feel like it was due to the fact that I become humble and know that I was wrong and asked the Lord to take care of it, and he did. So it got cleared up. And I was able to see the blessings during that time, even though it felt like there was a bunch of struggles. That was also the same time frame when I lost my father. It was a great journey to have him along. It was always the thought that you couldn't really ever make it in the industry that I was trying to jump into without a bunch of support of the money statues. And we had made it about a year and a half. And it was a fun journey to have with him. I know it was a struggle, but I know that he helped me through it. So I want to jump to Proverbs and get into a few of those key points that I had in my testimony there of going into struggles by not having the belief that I needed to have in the Lord to guide me to where I needed to be instead of forcing my hand and making my own decisions. So we'll go to Proverbs 3. 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then we'll go to Malachi 2:2. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Now, the next one I'd like to read is out of Isaiah 59. 1 through 2, and I kind of liken this one to the concept of if it isn't hard, we're never going to be reaching forth for something better if it's just handed to us. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So that is kind of a lesson there that we have, that he is always there, but it is our sinful nature that we don't want to put forth the effort to find him. And then we also got James 4. Let's go, yeah, James 4, 2 through 3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So these are all kind of scriptures that I was referencing after I had thought about my testimony to kind of put it in context, and the fact that if I would have used the words that he has in front of me, that maybe I wouldn't have put ourselves into the situation that I was in. So James 1, 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that resisteth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man be tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, now I want to bring us back to the time of the Israelites. As they would be called in their desert time, I want to think and have you guys think about the time that we live and in your life now currently. Are we like the Israelites on their journey? Have we seen the blessings and the promises like the Red Sea splitting, but yet we still do not believe the Lord God can bring us through this? I am reminded of the time whenever they have sent the spies. You know, we got the 12 tribes, and they sent the spies across the river to go and spy out the promised land that they were promised. And they all came back, and they all had issues with and complaints except for two of them. And the spies reported that there were mighty people. It was a great world, just like he was promised, but there was all kinds of problems with what they had seen in their doubt. They did not believe that they would be able to conquer the land of the people that were inhabiting the place that they were going to have. But there was two of them. And like I said, they were always on the edge. They could see it. Just imagine seeing it over there on the side, but you just can't obtain it. And knowing that you could have it if all you had to do was to believe. I know we find ourselves in a great array in this world, but what if it's the same situation? What if all we have to do is believe in our God and we could obtain it? We know it's in His time. But the Lord Himself has said that it is near if we will only ask. So let's go to Numbers again, chapter 14, 30 through 34. And this kind of talks about this here on the spies. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So that there is the Lord speaking to them after they have basically undoubtedly thought that the Lord would not be able to let them conquer the Canaan land that they were promised. And that is what they were cursed with, was the 40 days that the spies were out and seeking what they needed for the information to obtain so that they would know how to conquer them. They were given 40 years. So they've had the time where they've traveled, they got there, they could see it. They could see it so well, but they did not believe. So the Lord gave them another 40 years. And we find out that this is obviously time to make the generational gap, the gap of the children that were of the Egyptians that come over and seen it all and witnessed the parting of the Red Sea and the freedom of the bondage, but yet still could not believe. They had to be wiped out except for the two spies that sent forth the promise that it was a positive. Let's do this. We can do it. The Lord will help us. So I'm thinking about this, and the length of time is what makes it interesting to me. As I told you, there's obviously a purpose behind that, and we found out that it was to allow the generational gap to pass. And we find out that indeed, like we know, there's always going to be a promise that the Lord gives us. And in this situation here, they are promised the promised land, and he does follow through with it, but it is in his time. How many miracles do we need to see before we truly believe is also a thought that I had after reading this and studying it out. And the concept of what is enough. What is enough for us to see before we truly believe? Yes, we've seen the fact in these scriptures that they have seen that there's been two rivers raised up after they have passed the River Jordan, that it basically happened the same concept as the Red Sea did, and we can read about it. Is that enough for us? Obviously, we're still in this state, and I believe, and you can read it in your scriptures here, that the Lord is telling us that we are doubters. We are doubters and in a sinful state because of it. Do you ever feel lost in your life? Do you feel like blessings have been ceased? Is it necessarily because the Lord has not given you a blessing? Or is it more because we are not looking? In other words, I think it is us. It is not him. His miracles have not ceased. We doubt and are unbelief people, just like the people in the wilderness at this time. Do we have fear? Because if you don't have faith, you have fear. And if you have fear and not faith, you're going to have doubt. Can we not recognize his power and the power that he has for all of us in this room have had many miracles in our lives and blessings? It should be a firm foundation for us to reach forth. Now, we can all say that we believe, but do we truly believe? And I'm not saying that one of us is better than the other, but I'm just wanting you to consider the thoughts that I was learning in myself. As you know, it's always easier for the teacher to learn himself than it is for the listener. So it was probably more of a lesson for me to put into my life. And the pride and the sin and the negative thoughts that we can all have. You know, it's an interesting concept that all of these things are written in history, but yet history repeats itself. We know that. We see it, and it's just the sinful nature of mankind. I find in my life that I try to determine God's blessings and try to act upon them and create a blessing or to create the solution. As I can say, it is definitely the lack of faith. Maybe that would be the reason to think that we need to figure it out on our own and try to make what we think make sense, because we don't necessarily trust that it's going to go the way that we need or see. And also, sometimes we notice others' abundance blessings. Do you ever find that time when you can consider yourself that there's somebody else down the road that has an abundance of this, an abundance of that, and sometimes we tell ourselves, well, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. All these things that we can think of, they were living, and they were doing, and here we are again, doing it again. But the blessings that we could be blessed with, but we have to reach and ask and seek, as he tells us. Do we have idols, reach for fame, have degrading talk amongst us? Do we murmur? These are all things to consider whenever we think about the life that people were given a promised land, but they were not able to receive it. Are we going to be able to receive it in this promised land that we are given? The Heavenly Father has told us that it will come, but will it be us? Don't let it not be you. Don't let it skip a generation. And I'd like to share another testimony in my current state here. Like I said, we had a situation in my company, and we had sold our house. Now you know where we live. Some of you may not, but we have definitely downgraded, which is not a problem. We come up with problems because we think it's a problem, but there are many times when we have more than what we need. I think about it in the fact of there was a blessing to be rendered of the problems that I had in the past, just like the people did after they were in bondage. So I was thinking about this and brought to my attention, why would I murmur and complain about where I'm at now if I can remember where I was? And the struggles that I had were way worse than what I have now. So it just makes me consider the fact that let's not try to tell the Lord that we deserve more. The Lord will bless us. I can tell you one thing, it is way better to be debt-free than it is to have the struggle of knowing how you're going to put food on the table. And maybe we are blessed abundantly, and we are just overlooking it. Do we want to be a people that overlook the blessings that God has given us to be murmurers, or thinking about how I could have this, could have that? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 35 through 39. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why is it that ye murmur among yourselves, saying, we cannot obey thy word, because ye have not all these things, and seek to excuse yourself, saying, that after all these things do the Gentiles seek? Behold, I say unto you that your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Wherefore, seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God, and to establish his righteousness, and to all these things shall be added unto you. Take, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day shall be the evil thereof. So that there is a promise. Don't worry about what tomorrow brings. You will receive what blessings you need in your life. The people of Israel finally received their inheritance. You can go to Joshua 4 and read that whenever it actually shows them passing through the Jordan. And they went through there and they were able to conquer the people with the Lord's help. One thing is for sure, someone's going to receive the inheritance that they were promised, just like this generation was to receive it. He has promised it, and it will happen. And the Lord will never leave you alone, even if we're wandering for 40 years. Sometimes all you have to do is ask, and he will fulfill his promise if you obey. I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 3, 7 through 19. This is a fairly long one, so bear with me. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as it in the provocation, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So if there was one thing that I would consider today in my thoughts and what I had learned myself, is that we are once again a people of unbelief. Let us find a way to not be that people. Let it not skip our generation, that we would receive our promise. And we can read that in James 1:12. Blessed is the man that resisteth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I'm going to read to you a song out of the Blue Hymnal 287. Never be discouraged, trust the Father's word. In the time of trial, let his voice be heard. Trusting in his promise, though the waiting long, he will surely bless us, praise him with a song. Never be discouraged if along our way disappointments meet us, tempting us to stray. Closely cling to Jesus. Ask him for his grace. In his words of comfort, find a resting place. Never be discouraged. Patiently endure. God doth often test us. Trials make us pure. Soon will come the reaping. Then with the joy we'll sing, praise the Lord of harvest, praise the heavenly King. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our brother Luke for his diligence and his preparation and in his response to the promptings and the leadings of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. We will now praise the Lord with a song, and by closing our service by standing and singing hymn number 211. Hymn number 211.
Our Father, our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we draw a close not only to this service, but this day, a day set apart to honor and worship and remember all those many blessings of you've bestowed upon us. And as we have heard, O God, we know that through this life, this journey is a trial. trials that come up before us. I pray, dear Lord, that we would not want to go back to the old self, like the Israelites, but we would push forward with an eye single to thy glory. We thank you for our brother's willingness and his diligence in seeking through these trials of life, holding on to that rod of iron, your word, that he might come forth and stand and share how it is that you continue to work, even in the midst of those times of uncertainty, and yet your light continues to shine forth that we might know the pathway. Won't you continue to shine the light in the lives of our brothers and sisters here tonight, and may you bless each of their homes, may you bless their families, may they see your hand at work in their life through the good times and the bad, that all things might be used for your good, that we might continue to strive to do that which you've called us to do, to look for that promised land, that we might cross over and see your goodness and see your hand come forth even to this place. We thank you for the promises of salvation, the promises of your word to come forth, and we ask for the continued strength of endurance. Above all things, Lord, forgive us of our sins. We would ask and pray these things in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.